Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm your host, Savannah Peterson. This week, we're diving into a recent outbreak within the animal agriculture industry, influenza A. Joining me is Animal Health Commissioner Dr. Justin Smith to share his wealth of knowledge around influenza A and the impact it has on dairy herds across the state. Dr. Smith, welcome to Inside Ag.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. To really dive into things, can you just give us an overview of what influenza A is? Where did it originate from? How does it spread? What is influenza A that we're all fighting now?
Sure. So influenza A is a group of viruses that's out there that are specific to the influenza family, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. This particular virus, H5N1, has been a virus that we've dealt with here in the United States for about 2 years, a little over 2 years now, in our poultry world. So H5N1, or what some people refer to as highly pathogenic avian influenza, is a virus that has affected our poultry operations and our wild bird operations. So it's a virus that frankly has a tremendous impact on those populations. They get very sick, they die eventually, and it's decimating to those populations with that. Regarding the dairy cow consideration is the fact that we have seen this virus, a variation of it, move into our dairy cow populations out there. So it's the same virus, it's H5N1. There's been some slight genetic variations that's allowed it to become an impact on our dairy cattle, but it is a virus we've been dealing with here in the United States, like I say, over 2 years now.
Now that it's making its way into dairy herds, how do you see it impacting these cattle? And what do you think are some implications of it?
Sure. So the virus itself has really been a little puzzling as far as in the dairy world. It's exhibited in weird ways. We're seeing it involving our lactating dairy cattle. And I want to make sure I stress the word lactating. Lactating dairy cattle. And it's tend to be impactful to those dairy cattle that have been on the later part of their lactation period or have been, in lactation 2 through 5. So it hasn't impacted that we know of as of yet our young calves, our young stock, as well as some of our first lactation heifers. But what they see is they see these cows that will go off a feed. Their ruminations or their digestive motility decreases a lot. And then what we ultimately see is their milk production goes way down. We'll see this impact those cows from, I've been told, 3 to 5 days, and then they'll start to come back and they'll start to get back on track as they supplement their feed and they supplement their symptoms. With that being said, frankly, a lot of the dairies are reporting now that those cows have virtually healed up. They're back in the milking string and they're back to doing what they're supposed to be doing. The mortality or the death loss associated with this has been very, very limited, unlike the birds where it's a highly mortality event. The death loss is very minimal. Definitely the herds have been affected, have been impacted greatly, but they do tend to recover and come back.
Well, that's at least a glimpse of hope for dairy producers. Like you just alluded to, influenza A is starting to make its way into the state of Kansas. Can you tell me more about how this happened?
Sure. The thoughts are is there was some sort of a spillover event. And I use that term in the fact that we know that the wild birds have been a normal habitat of this virus. They're the ones that's moved it around the country. We're seeing that over and time again from our poultry operations being exposed to wild birds. But in the cattle operations, that's been the case for a long time. But at the same time, we've never had this spillover event. But there was one point in time where this virus adapted some way that allowed it to become infective into those cows. Since that point in time, we're seeing the cows be a source of infection for other cows. How it spread from cow to cow, we're not exactly sure. We think there's probably some level of a respiratory component to it, but we haven't been able to confirm that. But we also know that there's an opportunity to move it around via trucking, via workers being what I call mechanical vectors that have the opportunity to spread this virus. So again, within the cow-to-cow transmission, we know that it happens. We're just not exactly sure how that transmission looks at this point in time.
Okay, Dr. Smith, with all this knowledge that we know now, the Kansas Department of Agriculture released an order requiring permits on lactating cattle. Can you just walk us through some big details of that? What all does this order entail?
Sure. So yes, yeah, you're exactly right. We did establish an order, again, for only lactating dairy cattle. That order basically says that any dairy cattle that are moving into the state of Kansas or within the state of Kansas must have a certificate of veterinary inspection from a veterinarian, and then that veterinarian must call in and get a permit from us for that CVI. And so the whole purpose of the process is to validate that the premises that animal's originating from are not exhibiting signs significantly significant the virus. And so our goal is to do some level of looking at the premise of origin and making sure that it's not an infected premise so that we can safely move those cows.
For producers that fit this requirement and are needing to move their cattle, what kind of things do they need to be preparing for or looking for when looking to get a CVI?
So first of all, we want to make sure that, one, they recognize what it means to be an infected facility, that they have, you know, are they seeing signs that are significant or consistent with what we've described that are showing up with this H5N1 virus infecting cows? So first of all, that's the one, is to assess that. But also then they need to reach out to their local veterinarian and ask them for a certificate of veterinary inspection, whether that veterinarian decides to do an exam or just, you know, come out and check things out. It's kind of up to them and what their relationship is with that producer. But reach out to their local veterinarian. Their veterinarian will then write that CVI and get that permit on their behalf for that movement to wherever they happen to be going.
Awesome. Thanks for the clarification on that. Looking ahead, what's the timeline for influenza A? How long is this order going to be in place?
To this order, great question. Our goal is that we're going to be able to diminish this order as quickly as possible, but it's basically until further notice is kind of what it amounts to. We're still learning a tremendous amount about this virus and how it's moved and where it's going. I want to also mention that in addition to our Kansas order, there's a federal order out there as well. And so we view that the federal order probably is going to have some opportunity to maybe identify some other dairies out there that may be impacted that we haven't known about in the past. And so to give you a timeline, I can't as far as when we're going to remove it, but our goal is to make sure that it's still applicable and we'll remove it the minute that we don't need it.
For our dairy producers, what are some biosecurity tips that they can be putting in place to really protect their herd against influenza A?
So one of the things that's been evident is when we talk about lactating animals, and the reason we talk about lactating animals is the milk has been the product that's been heavily virus loaded. We're finding that in these affected cows, that the milk is the one product that we can find that has a lot of virus to it. So when I talk about developing some level of biosecurity, the goal is that you would... one, you're moving new animals in, create an area of separation or isolate those animals for no less than 30 days as you watch those, making sure they don't have access to your general population. The other one is that knowing that the milk is the product that has a lot of virus in it, prevent the exposure of that product to your cows. Namely, if you're going into the same milking parlor, making sure that you clean and disinfect that parlor before you bring those affected animals in, put those animals in a hospital situation, but making sure that you're not the one carrying it. Make sure that you don't have it on your shoes or that you're carrying a dirty bucket or something that from pen to pen. I can't stress enough how much virus is in this milk, and so it doesn't take a lot of exposure. But do, reevaluate your transportation that's on your dairy, whether it's the feed salesman, whether it's the feed delivery truck, the animal breeders, your veterinarian. Implement some processes to where they use boot covers and retain some level of separation or PPE that you can have on your dairy to make sure that we're not passing this virus from place to place. The other thing I may offer out there is that we also know there's a level of wild bird component to this. And so, if you have a wild bird population that's heavily on your dairy, whether it's, blackbirds or grackles or pigeons, let us get you in contact with the wildlife services and let's figure out a way that we can help minimize that exposure to those cows.
Yeah, I think that's a good little reminder for all livestock producers. Switching gears here a little bit, let's dive into a little bit more about how influenza A might transfer to other things outside of the dairy industry. Kansas is a big beef state. Should there be any concern about this virus transferring to beef cattle?
So, yeah, to answer your question, we don't understand why it's not affecting our beef herds that we know of. Now, with that being said, we haven't had any reports from beef herds showing symptoms, issues regarding this virus, but we're not quite sure and understand why it hasn't. Our recommendation is to the beef community is one is just keep your eyes open and your ears to the ground and the fact of just making sure you're aware and keeping track of your animals, implementing the biosecurity processes that you can, and meaning that develop that line of separation between any exposure you may have from dairy animals or from other animals that may be having this symptom out there. We know there's probably a level of asymptomatic or subclinical animals that have been infected and are still an opportunity of carrying this virus. We're just not having a real good luck identifying what groups those may be at this point in time.
Kind of continuing this thought on passing influenza A to other things outside of the dairy industry, is there any concern that influenza A might be passed on to consumers, maybe through milk consumption or another form of transportation?
Sure. No, that's a great question, and I appreciate you asking. If you've read the press, there's been some press out there that shows that they have found fragments of this virus within milk products out there. But also, we got some great news from FDA. FDA has been doing some additional studies and additional pasteurization work, and preliminarily, they're being able to show that there's no concern that our pasteurization process today does effectively remove this virus, this live virus, from our milk or incapacitates it in our within our milk. And so, again, through the practices of the local dairyman removing those animals from the milking string and putting them in a hospital, they don't milk sick cows. And so that milk doesn't go into that consumer milk. So that process, but if it for some reason it does happen, we also can be assured that the pasteurization process does effectively what it's designed to do, and that's to remove adulterants from our milk.
I think those are really good talking points for producers that might encounter those type of conversations. Dr. Smith, is there anything else you'd like to discuss today regarding influenza A?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it greatly. I think the big thing is just recognize that the dairy industry has been impacted. There's been some dairies that have really been impacted. They've had some tremendous loss, whether it's milk production or loss of having to cull cows and that. So they're working through that. I think it's one of those things that I would encourage folks to, like I said, be aware. Just listen to the news, listen to what's coming out there. These orders are changing daily, if I may. I mean, there's the federal order restricts some interstate movement requirements and some testing requirements. We didn't get into that today, but this is changing. This is such a novel disease event and a new disease event now that we're learning a lot about it. So I would just encourage people to be aware and keep their eyes and ears open.
Dr. Smith, thank you so much for joining me here on Inside Ag and providing an update on the influenza A virus that is impacting dairy herds across the state of Kansas. Like Dr. Smith alluded to, the influenza A virus is a very evolving and changing virus. To stay up to date on information pertaining to the virus, you can visit the Kansas Department of Agriculture website and check out the Animal Health tab. I'll also include a link in the description. Again, I'm your host, Savannah Peterson, here on Inside Ag. If you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends. We'll